We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Geico presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected. Like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the September 2nd, 2018 edition of the Fantasy Football Report, a RotoViz radio news show covering the serious and mocking the ridiculous NFL news of the last week, brought to you by the FFPC and SquadQL. I'm Blair Andrews. You can follow me on Twitter at AmITheRealBlair. And my co-host is Hassan Rahim, who you can follow at HRR5010. Hassan, how's it going?
Fantastic. We finally made it. It's the final show that we're going to do before the NFL is back. I'm really excited. How about yourself?
Oh, yeah. I'm totally excited. We had a ton of kind of not really surprising news come in with all the cuts and, you know, getting down to 53-man squads. So we'll definitely discuss some of that. I'm especially excited to discuss it with our guest today. Joining us on the show is Eric McClung. Eric is the editor-in-chief of the Roto Underworld world-famous draft kit and a contributor to NumberFire. Eric is also the host of the Roto Underworld game night on Friday nights on rotogrinders.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric McClung. Eric, thanks for joining us. What's up?
Hey, it's going great. With all the cuts, I'm glad I was not cut from the podcast. I was retained and here tonight to do it. So very pleased. And yeah, can't wait for the NFL season. Can't wait for DFS, as you mentioned. Yeah, Roto Grinders, the Roto Underworld is invading the much beloved Roto Grinders. If you play DFS for any amount of time, you're certainly very familiar with Roto Grinders. So Friday night, come for the Swolecast and then stay for the Roto Underworld game night. I will be hosting alongside Matt Kelly and Ben Gretsch, one of the many great RotoViz alums. So, yeah, I've got the entertainment, I've got the information, everything you want in a DFS show Friday nights on RotoGrinder. So definitely check that out.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Be sure to check that out. Let's get right into the first news item, the most important happening over the last week. Jerick McKinnon tore his ACL while making a cut on the final play of Saturday's practice and will miss the 2018 season. It's obviously an unfortunate development for McKinnon, who many were expecting to be the workhorse running back for the 49ers. And obviously, we wish him the best and a speedy recovery. But, you know, in his absence, we have to find some running backs to fill in the gaps. So the 49ers signed Alfred Morris in August. I guess, how do you expect the opportunity to be split between Matt Breida and Alfred Morris this season? And do you think they might even look to add another running back before the season starts?
Yeah, well, let's get the obvious out of the way that this really sucks. This sucks. If you're a RotoViz subscriber, if you're a Roto Underworld subscriber, in all likelihood, you have been a Jerick McKinnon truther for quite some time. This is really, really terrible. And Jeremy McNichols was cut as well. So that option is out of San Francisco too. So that also really sucks. But between Morris and Breda, I mean, I don't know. I mean, throw a couple fab bucks on each guy, roll with whoever you get. I mean, anybody that pretends that they know exactly how this is going to break down, I think is just trying to fool you. I think the guy that's getting ignored and overlooked in this happens to be the best receiving option in the San Francisco backfield right now, and it's a guy we haven't mentioned, and that's fullback Kyle Juszczyk. Career high 44 receptions last year. He's a guy who caught some balls in Baltimore as well. Matt Breida has been a terrible pass catcher, a 58.3% catch rate as charted by Player Profiler. That is bad for any way you cut it for a running back. He was 45th among the position, one of the worst among qualified targeted running backs. So if you want to come up with the generic analysis that Alfred Morris is the grinder and Breida is the third down receiver, I don't think that's correct. I think this is a really ugly mess. And like I said, throw a couple fab dollars or, if you have waiver priority, put it on both and see what happens. And maybe you're right. But I don't think that there's really a clear answer here. This is going to be a very green game script dependent thing. And I do think Juszczyk is going to be kind of the thing that kind of blows up any kind of value that either one of these guys has.
Yeah, I'm really with you on Kyle Juszczyk. He has actually put on some pretty impressive performances in the past, like you mentioned, for Baltimore and then over with the San Francisco 49ers. What actually really stood out to me, the game from him that really stands out to me back in last season was his bouncing of the Jacksonville Jaguars, where he, saw five targets, caught five balls for 76 yards. He was the RB23 on the week. As you said, I think that just his very presence kind of caps the receiving upside of either running back. As you mentioned, Breda is not a particularly good one, and Alfred Morris isn't known for catching the ball. So I think Juszczyk really kind of curbs any appeal either really have for me over in PPR leagues. I have taken a bit of Breda before his price completely skyrocketed. He was a candidate for the zero RB list. So I got a little bit of him in best ball. Snagged Alfred Morris off waivers in a couple of structured leagues. Myself dropped exactly nothing for him. As a hope, I didn't even spend any fob. Let's just see how this plays out for me.
Yeah, it's a mess. And by no means is that a Kyle Juszczyk endorsement, although I know Peter Overzap is streaming at his phone right now to get all the Juszczyk. But and it was 44 targets last year, but he did catch 33 passes and only got seven carries. So he was definitely a guy that they wanted to throw to more than they wanted to run the ball. So it's just a sticky situation all around.
Yeah, he also saw the most targets of any running back after Garoppolo started playing. You saw him throwing a lot more to Juszczyk than to Breida or Carlos Hyde. So that's a little bit interesting, but, you kind of mentioned it isn't an endorsement. I was going to ask you to sort of put your money where your mouth is and tell me where you'd be drafting Juszczyk.
No, I mean, if you could get, the San Francisco RB as a position, that's that would be okay. Because it's going to be just sort of like this Frankenstein monster mishmash kind of thing on a weekly basis. And maybe we'll have some clarity after a couple of weeks. But, as for right now, like I said, it sucks coming up and saying, oh, no. But, that's pretty much the case. It's, this is going haywire. San Francisco themselves is scrambling. And I think your question of if they're going to sign somebody, I think is pertinent. I definitely think that's in the cards. But until that happens, we just kind of have to evaluate the situation for what it is right now. And it's there's just not really much clarity.
Yeah, there's been rumors that they might be looking to trade for Amir Abdullah because I think that the previous GM was the same. The 49ers' GM was the same guy that drafted Amir. Could someone correct me on that one?
I think there's a front office guy, because Lynch wouldn't have been. I don't think Lynch has any front office experience prior to San Francisco, but I think there is some sort of like a personnel guy. But yeah, there is some sort of connection. I do recall seeing that as well. So, but I mean, it's getting kind of late in the game. Maybe they were just hoping that Abdullah would be cut, and he was kind of one of the more popular candidates for that to happen. That did not transpire, though, at least at the time of this recording. So maybe they had their fingers crossed that would take place. I don't know, but. Yeah, there's certainly some dots that you can connect, but you know, if they're going to do that, they're starting to run out of time.
So it looks like just yesterday or today, even Breed is going in around about the seventh round in MFL 10s, if any are still going on, and Morris is in about the eighth round. Are either of those guys worth drafting in those rounds?
Morris in the eighth. I mean, I guess that's okay. That's probably where I would tend to think that he would be the guy. He's got familiarity with the system and whatnot. I mean, Breida is two, but Morris has been, you know, had some really successful years with Shanahan in Washington. So I think that's a little bit more meaningful. And you know, like I said, the catch rate on Breida, whoever is just so bad that you know, he's not the answer as the receiving back. So. Yeah, Morris would probably be the guy that I would want, and if you're saying he's going a little bit cheaper, that would probably be the route that I would go if I really needed to take either one of them.
John Gruden's return to the NFL thus far has involved a series of puzzling moves. The Raiders traded away Khalil Mack for a bevy of draft picks from the Bears and acquired AJ McCarron from the Bills for a fifth-round draft pick. The Raiders also traded a third-round pick for Martavis Bryant, who was cut from the Raiders yesterday. Eric, how would you say the offseason has gone for the Raiders? And if you own any Raiders in fantasy this season, are you concerned for their production?
The offseason? Yeah, it's... Oh my God. It's, I mean, it's gone barely about as bad as anybody could imagine. I mean, John Gruden has a 10-year contract and he is certainly acting like it, like he's not going to be going anywhere anytime soon. The Khalil Mack trade, just absolutely ridiculous. This is a trade that Madden 19 would not even accept. A pair of first rounders, a third and a sixth for Mack and a second, which makes giving away two firsts a lot more appealing. You're getting a second rounder back and a conditional fifth round pick. Raider fans all over Twitter are spitting this, is that, you know, he's not worth the money, his demands are too high, blah, 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 blah. You know, there's a salary cap, how can we afford Carr and Mack and, you know, Cooper in a year or two and all this other stuff. Here's the truth, that is all garbage. If you listen to former front office guys like Andrew Brandt, Joe Banner, they're going to tell you very easily that you can afford about 8 to 10 star players under the salary cap, just like Khalil Mack is a star player. And also have a highly paid quarterback, just like Derek Carr, if you have a front smart office and you can manage the salary cap. Oakland, this year and next year, has the ninth most available free cap space. So they could do this if they wanted to. They have the fifth most cap space in 2020. So the real question, and if I'm a Raider fan, the real long-term concern I have is Mark Davis and the cash flow that the Raiders have or don't have. Now, Mark Davis is rich. He is a millionaire, but he is easily the little kid at the owner's tables because they're all billionaires, okay? So, you know, and that was a big reason why the Raiders never considered to be part of the LA stadium that the Chargers and Rams are going to be playing in. Now, maybe when they move to Las Vegas, this will clear up, you know, some of the dollars and cents issues for them. But, you know, you've got well-respected guys like Louis Riddick on Twitter questioning the cash flow situation with the Raiders. You know, Mack was traded and he got $60 million up front in the blink of an eye. And, you know, Mark Davis, that might just be over his head, especially as much money as he's sunk into John Gruden over the next 10 years. So that, I think, is really what's going on here. Is I just don't think the Raiders were for this, especially with Amari Cooper's in the near future. But to go back to your original question, Raiders in fantasy. You know, there's guys going around where Amari Cooper goes that I like a little bit better. Adam Thielen, if you like a super safe guy, Larry Fitzgerald as well. So I haven't really taken much Amari Cooper. I do think, though, Marshawn Lynch, who goes a round or two later, I think he's a pretty good value. And once they actually started using him about the second half last year, put up some pretty good numbers over on Player Profiler, the game charting that we do. Marshawn Lynch finished first in juke rate, second in evaded tackles, and third in yards per carry. I'm sorry, yards created per carry. Again, according to the game charting that we do with Player Profiler. For cheap tight ends, I think Jared Cook is a little bit interesting as well. So I think there are some guys. Carr himself, I've never really liked very much. Very, very touchdown dependent. Does absolutely nothing on the ground, even though I think he has a decent 40 time, I want to say. But just not a guy who's ever looking to rush the ball. So that's a negative for him. So just not a guy that I'm too crazy about. And I do think that this offense is, as John Gruden is very proud to talk about, wanting to turn the clock back and probably going to run Marshawn Lynch quite a bit. So I think he's gone at a pretty reasonable to good value this year. So I do like him, and I've got him in a number of spots. But other than that, no, I haven't really found much love for the Raiders.
So Hassan wrote an article on Friday that on RotoViz about how Amari Cooper could lead the league in targets. And with the, you know, Martavis Bryant being cut, this looks even more likely now. I've also done work on wide receiver bounce backs, and it looks like Jordy Nelson is not, he's not really in the best position to have a bounce back season. So, I mean, Cooper is available in like the third round. I think that's pretty good value for someone who, you know, could possibly get, well, I don't want to say, you know, well over 150 targets, I'm hoping, this season. I think that's pretty realistic.
Yeah, in the Roto-Wooden World, the world-famous draft kit that you mentioned at the top there, yeah, we have Amari Cooper as the 27th wide receiver. We have Mike Evans in front of him. I would probably take Cooper above Evans, but you know, Stephon Diggs, Larry Fitzgerald, Devontae Adams, those are some of the guys that are right ahead of Amari Cooper, and I do like them more so. Leading the league in targets, I mean, I don't. My only question would be is how committed the Raiders are going to be to passing the ball, I guess. But with this Mac trade and just essentially giving up on defense now, maybe they have to throw the ball a lot. That's certainly possible now. And I'm sorry, I should say we have Amari Cooper 27th overall, not the wide receiver 27th. My apologies on that. That really wouldn't make a lot of sense, but. But yeah, again, I do. Other than Mike Evans, I would pretty much agree with the way that we have him ranked here. It's interesting. I'm not a never Amari Cooper guy like a lot of people have turned into. I do think that brighter days are ahead for him. I just don't know if it's going to be this year. Until Gruden really gets a kind of snap back to reality of what the NFL really is right now. I'm not very high on John Gruden, if you can't tell by now. But I think if you're maybe a little bit more optimistic, maybe you could bump him up a little bit more here. I don't know. I'm just not really feeling it.
Yeah, it's been kind of frustrating watch Amari's price rise this entire offseason. He was going around in the late fourth when MFL 10s kind of opened up, and he was someone you could actually grab fairly regularly in the fourth, and he's dipped into the fifth sometimes just because people got really burned by him last year. But in the article that Blair mentioned, and Ben Gretchen made the point before as well, we have evidence that like Amari was playing hurt for the first 6 weeks. Not only was he on the injury report on Roto-World getting treatment every Wednesday, and then he was mysteriously taken off Thursday, then he'd play Sunday, and then he'd do nothing. So when you look at the splits, as I did for his yards per target over those first 6 weeks, he's at something below 4 yards per target for the first 6 weeks last season, compared to his rookie and sophomore seasons where he's hovering around a 9.5 yard per target mark. And then his first game where he spends no time on the injury report was the Wednesday injury report was the week before they played the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you remember that Thursday night, he just, he saw just a ridiculous amount of targets, just torched the Chiefs just up and down. He was kind of a volatile wide receiver three. And then he just suffered a horrific concussion against the Broncos and just never got right. And he still put up wide receiver high-end wide receiver two numbers to finish out the season. I'm hoping that a boatload of targets goes Amari's way. I'm not optimistic about this team particularly being good. I haven't really looked into how Derek Carr performs in negative scripts. I don't think he performs particularly well. All that means is he's probably going to be airing the ball out more, which would leave him open to throwing more ints, which would be pretty impressive considering that, you know, if they're expecting their offense to do the job for them, I don't think that's going to get it done. And then they don't have any defense to stop the opposing offenses. So this is going to be a two-way attack on themselves, which would be pretty impressive to watch this season.
Yeah, I do think those are good points. And yeah, in terms of the injury, and one thing that wasn't when Gruden was brought in is he was talking about moving Amari Cooper around, like putting him in the slot and other you know flipping around different sides of the field, that kind of thing. Whereas he was pretty much a stationary guy, more or less, you know, earlier in his career with Oakland, and was always, you know, the top opposing corners were always pretty much locked in on him because they weren't very creative with that. So if they do bring a little bit more creativity, it was, you know, 16, then yeah, he's really got nowhere to go but up.
One other thing Hassan mentioned in that article that I thought was really interesting is that the Raiders ran the lowest percentage of two wide receiver sets in the league last year. And, you know, if Gruden is at all serious about sort of going back to a 1980s playbook, then you would expect that percentage to rise, you know, in a big way. So that would mean less competition for Cooper when he's on the field. You know, presumably more targets coming his way. Just another reason to think he could, you know, he could do really well. But I wonder if with Bryant being cut, if any of you are taking another look at Jordy.
No. No, not really. I mean, I'd rather have him on the team just as, like, just for tactical value. I mean, I wasn't interested in him for fantasy purposes. But, I mean, those kind of guys that just kind of run go routes and clear things out and that type of thing, those guys don't really matter per se in terms of I want to start them on my fantasy team, but in terms of the tactical value that they bring and just the respect that defenders, you know, have to pay for those, you know, have to put on those kinds of guys, I think is important, you know, especially if you're Jordy Nelson. But no, not really too crazy about it. No, it's mainly, yeah, Amari in the right spots, or, you know, Lynch, like I said, or Cook super late. I haven't really given much consideration to Jordy.
Yeah, I really like the Jared Cook call. I think he's my most owned tight end in best ball leagues. I got a question for you guys. Who are you taking as the backup running back here? Doug Martin, Jalen Richard, or DeAndre Washington?
For sure. Cool. For sure. No question.
Yeah, I mean, it should be. Should be Rashard. But I mean, they seem to really, really like Doug Martin for whatever reason. So I mean, in terms of who's going to score more fantasy points, I guess I would say Doug Martin, but in terms of what they should do, yeah, I mean, I like Rashard. I mean, heck, I like Washington more than Martin at this point, but, yeah, I mean, I guess you'd have to go Martin just cause it's John Gruden and that's what he's going to do. But yeah, I mean, if I was, you know, if I had any input in the decision, yeah, it'd be one of those other guys.
I mean, at the value that Martin is going to give you, that you could project for him to give you, you'd almost rather have, like, the more binary outcome of Rashard. Either he does nothing or he kind of hits in a big way and is their third down back and, you know, not quite a league winner, but provides a lot of excess value. That's what I'm thinking. All right, before we get into No Shit Shit No, I want to take a brief second to tell you about our good friends at the FFPC, the home of season-long high-stakes fantasy football. With just days left in the 2018 fantasy draft season, the FFPC has a format to suit every diehard's interests and budget. Whether it's best ball or super flex or classic managed leagues, there are dozens of live drafts filling all day long, starting at just a $35 entry fee. Don't miss the FFPC experience, RotoViz listeners. Go to myffpc.com and register now. That's myffpc.com, the home of season-long high-stakes fantasy football. Another quick reminder that you can support the RotoViz Radio Network and our 10 live shows per week. No, that's wrong. Blech. Also a quick reminder that you can support the RotoViz Radio Network and our 10 shows per week on Patreon. By doing so, you'll gain exclusive access to RotoViz Live, our weekly Sunday morning video show answering all your fantasy questions. Patronships start at just $5 per month, and provide exclusive access to RotoViz Live. That's 4 shows per month on top of 40 podcasts for just $5. Become a RotoViz Radio patron today to join an exclusive community of listeners, access premium content, and do your part in helping the network to grow and continue to produce high-quality, industry-leading programming.
Yeah, and speaking of exclusives, as a loyal podcast listener, you can get 30% off a RotoViz NFL Pass right now. It's available through the NFL Podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. The season is almost here. Make sure you're ready. Gain unlimited access to all of our NFL content and tools. You get amazing value. You support the podcast network. Once again, that's rotoviz.com/podcast.
All right, now let's get into no shit, shit no. First item up, Bears GM Ryan Pace said tight end Adam Shaheen will be placed on injured reserve.
Well, I guess it's a no shit because that is factual. That is what's going to happen. But if you've been taking Trey Burton or if you've been stashing Trey Burton on Dynasty Leagues, I have my hand raised. This is, you don't like injuries, but this is good news for Trey Burton. It's big news for Trey Burton. He's got a pretty secure role. Now it's not, pretty much his show in the tight end position for Chicago. And, you know, there's been, you know, kind of hot takes and whatnot that he could be a guy that could lead this team in receiving if Allen Robinson is, maybe not the guy that we saw earlier in his career catching a bunch of garbage time touchdowns. So, this is big for Trey Burton. So, yeah, if you got Trey Burton, you don't like players getting hurt, but this is a pretty fairly significant development for him.
Dolphins coach Adam Gase believes second-round tight end Mike Gesicki is ready for a starter-like role.
This is a rookie tight end, and I'm pretty much going to – this is a stock answer for any rookie tight end. For me, Gesicki, despite, just completely shattering the combine, just still too pricey for me in dynasty leagues, and really there's just no need to take him in redraft leagues, so it doesn't really move the needle for me either way.
Is there a tight end on that league that should have a starter-like role, you think?
In Miami? No. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so.
Is Devontae Parker now a tight end?
Yeah, even Parker.
Starter-like role?
That's debatable. I don't know. He needs to get out of that. He just needs to get out of Miami. I don't know.
Eagles coach Doug Peterson confirmed Jay Ajayi will play against the Falcons in week 1.
Yeah, I mean, no shit. I think Ajayi's going to be okay. I think the real concern for people is his usage, which was a little weird once he was traded to the Eagles midseason. But it did pick up, including the playoffs. He played for the Eagles a total of 10 times. On only 5 occasions, he was given double-digit carries, but all 5 of those came in the final 6 games that he played with Philadelphia. Corey Kmet is not really built like a receiving back, even though he's made a lot of highlight plays as a receiver. Darren Sproles is 35 years old, coming off a pretty significant injury last year. I think Ajayi is a pretty nice value as kind of that second-tier running back layer starts to filter out. I think Ajayi is a pretty good value. So I think he's going to play. I think he's going to get more usage than we saw last year. And I think he's been a pretty decent value this offseason.
Yeah, earlier this offseason I wrote about the AJ Ajayi being a potential workhorse, looking at the average margin of the game from his rushing and receiving splits and how his usage carried over into the playoffs. I think the biggest positive here is addition by subtraction. Now that LeGarrette Blount's no longer there, they're just going to hand a lot of work over to Ajayi, but I think there's enough leftover work for Corey Clement. I think a lot of this comes down to, like you mentioned, Darren Sproles and his health questions. If Sproles really somehow is a superhuman and comes back to 35 after the horrific injury that he went through, he's going to sap a lot of upside for both Ajayi and Clement. Otherwise, I think Clement is a very interesting later round stash candidate, I guess, after Ajayi's gone. According to ESPN Colts reporter Mike Wells, fifth-round running back Jordan Wilkins is the front-runner to start if Marlon Mack is unable to play against the Bengals in week 1.
Well, no shit. I mean, who's left? My man Naheem Hines, who I loved, but quite literally fumbled away on multiple occasions any real opportunity he had to get a significant mix for this job, to get into that mix. Robert Turbin is suspended. Mack, as you mentioned, is banged up. Kristen Michael is Kristen Michael. On DraftKings, though, Wilkins, he's at home against the Bengals. They were 30th last year in rushing success rate on Sharp Football Stats. Wilkins is only $3,700 on DraftKings. So week one, he could be a play. If if Mac can't go, it's going to be Wilkins. So I thought he was a pretty decent buy in Dynasty. He was going pretty late, so I liked him there. You know, redraft, it's kind of a mess, so I don't really have a ton of them there. But yeah, I'm certainly checking the situation out. Yeah, week one on DraftKings, it could be a pretty good buy.
Brandon Marshall has made the Seahawks 53-man roster.
Well, no shit, because, again, that is factual. That is a true statement. but if Doug Baldwin is okay, and fingers crossed, because I've got a lot of Doug Baldwin, Scott Bishop Bowl included, Tyler Lockett has always been a very intriguing big play guy. We can't forget about Jerron Brown. He was the guy that they saw play. He played against them twice a year. You know, he's a former Arizona Cardinal. They added him pretty early, I believe, in free agency. So assuming that Brandon Marshall has a reduced role, is he going to be happy with that? You know, he's not always been the most content guy. He had to give up his other job, co-hosting Inside the NFL, because of the lengthy travel that had been required from Seattle to New York. He, you know, made some statements. He seemed a little bitter about, you know, how little attention he got in free agency. So, you know, is Marshall really going to be content? He could be one of those guys. You know, we've seen him be very good for a number of years, and if he catches a touchdown or two touchdowns in week one, everybody's going to be like, oh my God, how did I ignore Brandon Marshall in drafts? But that's exactly what's taking place. It's almost like he doesn't exist anymore. He was, many, including myself, didn't really think he was even going to be on the roster at this point. So the fact that he's here is very significant, but, you know, I like the guys that are in front of him. And if Marshall isn't happy in a couple of weeks, he could be, you know, back in his bag. So we'll see what happens.
The Jets have released running back Sharkandrick West.
Well, no shit. I mean, you know, they've got some other guys that they like. It's kind of funny. Do you remember earlier in the offseason when Bilal Powell was rumored to be the guy that was going to be on the cutting block? He was the guy who was going to get sent out of town. Well, now he looks like he might have gotten past Isaiah Crowell on the depth chart. We've seen Trent Cannon be pretty good in the preseason. He's gotten some buzz or in training camp. Elijah McGuire had a couple moments last year. So, you know, they've got some guys that they like. West was, pretty late addition. So, you know, one of the first guys that they got rid of. So not really a big surprise.
D'Angelo Henderson also has ended up on the practice squad. Any interest in him?
On the Jets practice squad? No, not really. I think Powell's been a great value. He's the guy that you want here. Crowell, I think, is a little bit interesting, but, you know, they've been talking about riding the hot hand and whatnot. Powell's got some receiving ability. I think that's definitely the guy there. So, you know, pending some sort of injury or something, I don't really think that it's really going to get beyond Powell and Crowell.
Rico Gathers has made the Cowboys 53-man roster.
Yeah, slow clap for Dallas. This was a guy that was rumored to that they were going to cut. The coaches don't like him, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, no shit that they thankfully made the right decision here. He was also arrested for marijuana possession, which is, you know, ridiculous, whatever. That's a whole other podcast topic, how silly we are as a country with that. But moving on, you know, Gathers, it made a lot of sense. I mean, I love Michael Gallup. I've been on hashtag Team Giddy Up all offseason, coming into the draft, whatnot. He was one of my favorite receivers heading into this. But Dallas needs playmakers. It can't just be Michael Gallup and Allen Hurns and whatever. Bill Beasley is, I guess, a little bit interesting, but not much else going on there. Even if Rico Gathers can't block, and he probably can't, but whatever, put him in the slot, run the seam. You know, let him be a poor man's Jimmy Graham or whatever cliche you want to go with tight ends that can't block. But just get him the ball. We've seen him blow up in a couple of preseason games over the years. It's a time. Let's see if Rico Gathers can really play when it counts. So good for Dallas that they actually kept him. It didn't seem like things were trending in that direction. So they made the right move. Hopefully they get him on the field and give him a couple targets.
Sony Michel participated in positional drills Sunday.
Well, this could go either way. I would say shit no, because it sounds like they still are leaning towards sitting him in week one. If that is the case, Rex Burkhead, who they've pretty much kept in bubble wrap since his earlier injury scare, he's only 4,200 on DraftKings. He's going to be a chalk play. if Michelle is indeed ruled inactive for week one, which it seems like that's where we're headed. You know, if you drafted him in redraft or dynasty, there's really nothing actionable here that you can really do with this. You just kind of have to sit and hold tight. But if you're playing DFS, Burkhead is probably going to be a very popular option week one if indeed Sony is no go.
Texans placed running back Dante Foreman on the reserve PUP list.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, an Achilles injury that Foreman had, that is no joke at all. Lamar Miller has been a solid value all offseason. And, because pretty much this has kind of been the way things have been headed. It looked like Foreman was not going to be ready for the beginning of the season, which, just as a reminder, check your league settings. Even if you're in a redraft league, take a look, see if you've got an IR or any kind of injury designation type of position, because, you know, Foreman might be a guy that you could stash right away and put that slot to some use. So I know I'm in my home league in Yahoo, even though it's a redraft, we do have an injury slot because, you know, once they made the NFL made the rule change where you can bring guys back mid-season from the IR, we included that. So after the draft, I went ahead and threw Foreman right on there. So check your league settings. But, yeah, this isn't a surprise at all. You know, if you've got Lamar Miller, you can breathe easily. But it seemed like this was going to happen all along. We'll see, because Foreman, you know, we're going to forget pretty quickly here, but it definitely looked like he was nipping at the heels of Lamar Miller for his job. His usage kept going up and up until that unfortunate Achilles, which I think happened on like a long TD run too. I think is where he got hurt. Foreman was definitely looking pretty nice there for a while. So not a name that you want to forget. But if you got Lamar Miller, you know, you'll be okay at least till midseason, and then we'll reevaluate.
Bills have waived Corey Coleman.
Well, this isn't shit. No, this isn't no shit. This is just shit out of luck. That looks to be the case with Corey Coleman. Poor guy broke his hand twice in Cleveland. Reports are that he had a bad attitude when he showed up in Buffalo. That attitude probably is what got him traded when he pretty much demanded it more or less from the Cleveland front office. You know, there's been plenty of reports that he really doesn't know how to play receiver all that well because of how they execute things over in Baylor. We've seen other Baylor players not transition very well. So, yeah, just unfortunate. You know, he's been a guy, if you're into prospects and measurables and all that stuff, Coleman's been a real intriguing guy for a little while here, and it just looked like bad luck for a period of time there. But with this trade and dump, and yeah, it's just not looking too good. If he gets if he lands somewhere, this is probably gonna be his last opportunity in the league. So, you know, maybe in a year or two when the XFL fires up their fantasy leagues, maybe Corey Coleman will be a part of that. But not looking too good for the NFL, unfortunately.
Are there any places you would like to see him end up that you think could maybe revitalize his fantasy value?
Well, I mean, we talked about Dallas just a few moments ago. I mean, they should bring him in just because he's a he's a person that's played wide receiver. So Dallas would make a lot of sense. I think that, you know, they need receivers. So, yeah, I'd certainly give him a call.
Speaking during the preseason finale on Thursday night, Buccaneers GM wouldn't guarantee that Jameis Winston will be the starter when he returns from suspension in week four.
I mean, shit, no. I mean, that's the biggest shit, no. Probably this whole offseason, right? I mean, Winston's going to play as soon as he comes off suspension. They're just trying to sound like, you know, yeah. I mean, I guess unless he gets into more trouble, in which case he's, you know, probably just going to be suspended even longer. But, they're not this stupid. I mean, they did take a kicker in the second round recently, but I don't think they're this dumb. I think they're just trying to say the quote-unquote right thing. But Winston's going to play right away. I was there for Ryan Fitzmagic run a couple years ago with the Jets, but definitely didn't look like the guy when he had the opportunity. Didn't look like that same guy when he had that, an opportunity with Tampa last year when Jameis was out for some games there. But no, I mean, this is just ridiculous. Winston's going to play right away.
The Saints have signed Mike Kilisley to a one-year contract.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting. I'd say shit no in terms of this really meaning a whole heck of a lot. Jonathan Williams was a big guy that people wanted to take at the end of drafts, which made a lot of sense. But, you know, once we saw his preseason usage, especially in the last game there, you pretty much saw the writing on the wall that he was a guy that was going to get cut. Sure enough, that is what happened. So the rookie Boston Scott wins out. Shane Vereen, if you remember him, he was put on injured reserve, but the Saints did pick up in the offseason, so we don't have to worry about him. Gillisley, you know, maybe take some touchdowns or just some overall grunt work kind of stuff that, you know, you don't want Alvin Kamara, you know, banging around too much anyway. So this is pretty much just an early season fireworks show for Alvin Kamara. No real worries there. Gillisley, Ingram, no Ingram, whatever the case is. You know, maybe it means something if he gets sort of the, you know, your dead to me treatment that Willie Snead got last year, talking about Ingram, and Gillisley sort of fills that role, but I mean, he's nowhere near as good, so I don't think it really matters a whole heck of a lot.
Are you looking for any sort of early season fill in on the Saints for when Ingram's out, or you think Kamara's just going to get all those touches?
I mean, they should just give it to Kamara, but I mean, at this point, I mean, you're right. I mean, unless you took Jerick McKinnon, you're more or less pretty, like, your rosters should be okay, like, where you wouldn't even need, like, even if you took Williams late in drafts, like, let's say you did that, I don't think it really made a whole heck of a lot of sense, because your roster should be healthy where you don't really need that fill-in guy. Like, I could see you have, it's week four and your starter has a hammy and he's going to be out 2 weeks. Okay, now we need to plug in this temporary guy and fill that space that way. But the beginning of the season, you really shouldn't need to play a guy like this, if that really makes any sense. So, you know, unless you just, you know, you took Geis and you took McKinnon and you're just like, you know, ready to just jump out a window and you need somebody, that's really the only situation where you're going to start a guy like this anyway. So hopefully you're just not in this situation to begin with, which is why I really didn't care about Williams one way or the other. So no, this shouldn't really change things. And if it does, your team is in such bad shape that, you know, I feel bad for you.
Raiders placed undrafted free agent running back Chris Warren on injured reserve.
Well, yeah, that sucks. But yeah, I mean, you know, I guess no shit. Yeah, it's and we were talking about this kind of before the show with how they treat IR, and if I mean, this one seems legitimate, but there's a couple guys that kind of get stashed away on IR that you know, it seems a little bit questionable. Maybe this is just a guy they want to keep around and not cut and risk getting picked up elsewhere. So yeah, I mean, this pretty much just solidifies Doug Martin, I would say, is you know, as the backup, not somebody you need to own, but you know, if anything happens to Lynch, I do think he would be the guy.
The Seahawks have placed tight end Ed Dixon on the reserve/NFI list.
Well, I found out that there are Nick Vinette truthers, so maybe I should throw this one back to you guys. I didn't know that was a thing, but we were talking about Nick Vinette and some of his combine measurables, and he's somewhat of an interesting player. So maybe this is better handled by you guys. Maybe you should talk a little bit about Nick Vinette.
He's a person that plays tight end for the Seattle Seahawks that doesn't have anyone really available in terms of targets. Ben Gresh and I co-own a team in the RotoViz RSO League, and we won Nick Vinette as one of our tight ends in the free agent auction. I just think that you kind of want the tight end on a team that is helmed by Russell Wilson, who, you know, has been kind of banned in terms of not really propping up wide receivers or not really supporting more than one. But realistically, I mean, he's still a kingmaker at tight end. You kind of, all you need is a guy who's able to be a red zone option for you, particularly in deepish leagues. Vinette kind of becomes very interesting given that there's going to be no Ed Dixon for a little while. We don't know if Brandon Marshall is going to really bounce back. I frankly don't think Tyler Lockett is going to have as great of a season as people are convinced he is because of the raw targets being there. I think Jerron Brown will actually surprise a lot of folks. And why not take a look at a guy who happens to be on a roster where they've freed up a lot of targets, especially now that Jimmy Graham is no longer on the squad?
Yeah, and Vinette, unbeknownst to me, he was a late third round pick. So he's got they've got a little bit of quite a bit invested. Third round pick, nothing to sneeze at. And on PlayerProfiler.com, 85th percentile agility score, 56th percentile catch radius. He's got kind of small hands, but very long arms. He's got some speed, so real interesting. Yeah, I know it's interesting. Luke Wilson was a guy who had a real nice workout metric profile, and he was a guy they would always sometimes kind of leak, they would roll Russell Wilson out, and then he would kind of leak out and kind of go follow the same path downfield that Wilson would, and they caught my 49ers sleeping a couple times on touchdowns that way to tight end. So yeah, Vinette, I think it definitely could have a little bit of a role. So glad you brought him to my attention. Maybe one of those Minsal DFS plays one of these weeks when they play a future defense or something. So glad you brought him to my attention.
Let me just be the voice of reason then. 8th percentile college dominator rating, so he wasn't even a pass catcher in college. And we've seen enough teams just basically not even use the tight end, like the Jets a couple years ago. The Cardinals almost never use one. So it's not necessarily smart for teams to not have a good pass catching tight end, but teams definitely get away with it. I'm wondering if maybe they might be able to use Marshall sort of as a Jimmy Graham fill in. I don't have high hopes for him bouncing back at receiver, but if he's, running a lot of routes against linebackers or something, maybe that gives him a little bit of an edge. But I don't know. I just don't really have high hopes for Nick Vinette or really for any Seattle tight end. I like Tyler Lockett. That's it.
Yeah, that was a lot of Nick Vinette talk. I do like Lockett quite a bit as well. But yeah, it's just, at this point in time, it's just important to know kind of who's in, who's out, and, who some of these names are. So, good lightning talk there. But yeah, maybe the last time anybody will speak of Nick Vinette.
Jake Kumerow has made the Packers 53-man roster, which brings their total wide receiver count to 8 or 9, if you believe what Hassan says about Ty Montgomery.
Right. So I guess this is should know that it's realistic to expect them to carry this many receivers. We were hoping at this point to get some clarity. I know some of you guys were thinking that perhaps this is maybe a little bit of a Randall Cobb insurance policy if he's really not all the way back yet. So, if you need a cheap Green Bay receiver, I think Geronimo Allison is the third option or second option once Cobb inevitably goes down. I think Allison's has been a pretty good late round selection this offseason. But yeah, we just don't know what how this is really going to shake out. We really didn't expect to see all this happening. So, my initial thought is maybe they're just waiting for this first wave of cuts to go through, and then they'll sort of pick out the guys that they want and then dump one or two of these receivers. There might have been maybe some, I don't know, there's some sort of shenanigans here. Maybe they're trying to sneak somebody through onto practice squad or, something like that. But obviously they have a lot of guys that they like. Just remains to be seen who's actually going to stick around. But it's hard to imagine they're going to carry this many receivers.
Yeah, it's actually kind of impressive that eight have made the squad. All three of the rookies that they drafted made the squad, including late-round selections, Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown. I know Jamon Moore didn't really show much in preseason, but I guess he must have showed enough in camp with Rodgers, and he must have shown enough in the final or the second last preseason game where they were pretty confident that they made the right decision in him. I think Ty Montgomery should be treated more as a hybrid. Mike McCarthy has been talking a lot more about how he's interested in deploying Dymo in that hybrid role. We discussed a few episodes ago about how Cobb was seen in a walking booth, and he finally admitted that he had an ankle surgery. So there are concerns about his health as we go into this offseason. I mean, Geronimo Allison's kind of interesting, so I wonder if this move indicates that they're not completely sold on him being a viable wide receiver three. I think there's, like you mentioned, Eric, there's just a lot of uncertainty here, and I think we got to monitor what happens next as we go on. Want an unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league? Well, look no further and download SquadQL, the only mobile app you'll need to crush your friends and rivals this year. SquadQL recommends the best starting lineup for you each week based on your starters, bench players, and free agent pool. You may ask, how does SquadQL actually do this? The app connects directly with your Yahoo, ESPN, and CBS leagues, pulling in your actual roster and your league scoring system. SquadQL provides waiver and trade recommendations, plus the app gives you player rankings each week, and it's all based on your league settings. SquadQL truly is your go-to app this fantasy football season. Head to SquadQL.com to download SquadQL, your all-in-one fantasy football manager. SquadQL is brought to you by the creators of RotoQL, the leading fantasy daily fantasy lineup optimizer trusted by over 100,000 DFS players. You can also download RotoQL for free for both Apple and Android.
All right, moving on to the next news item. The Chargers brought back 38-year-old tight end Antonio Gates. This move was expected considering that Virgil Green and Sean Culkin were the only tight ends on the roster following cutdown. Hunter Henry will also begin the season on the pup list rather than going on IR, so there's a possibility he will make a late season return. So, Eric, what impact do you think Gates has on this receiving core, and do you expect we'll see Henry on the field at all this season?
You know, I don't really make much of Gates coming back. As you mentioned and alluded to, was considered something that was bound to happen anyway. I think on Yahoo, they always had Antonio Gates connected to if you go into the draft room, like Gates, Chargers, tight end, like it was always there, like all offseason. I don't know about the other sites, but I do remember seeing that on Yahoo. So pretty much everybody saw this coming. I don't think it really matters. I mean, Keenan Allen is definitely the guy that's going to gobble everything up in San Diego with the Chargers. So the Hunter Henry thing is a lot more interesting to me, the fact that he's not going straight into injured reserve. So I think it'd be kind of crazy to do this. I mean, it's also weird because it's with the rule, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, with the rule changes to IR that they made, you know, a couple years ago now, they could have brought him back anyway. So I'm not sure exactly what the nuts and bolts behind this designation is, but he definitely raises an eyebrow. Am I going to draft Antonio Gates? No. Am I going to stream him? Yeah, maybe. I don't have the Chargers schedule in front of me, but you know, there might be some matchups here and there. Gates looked pretty bad last year, so, you know, I don't know. There's really not much to see here. I wasn't too excited about Virgil Green, even if this was his tight end. even if he was the quote-unquote unquestioned tight end for the Chargers, I don't think it really was going to make too much of a difference. So, you know, I don't know. Can Antonio Gates sort of Jimmy Graham his way into like just a bunch of touchdowns, you know, here and there, and not do much else? Maybe, but probably not. I'm not going to touch him in any draft situation. If he's been cut in a dynasty league, anything like that, no, I'm not interested. But he's a name that everybody knows. So if he scores a touchdown or two in the first, you know, week or so, it's, you know, people are going to be interested and they're going to pick him up. But I don't think this really, you know, I don't think this really matters.
Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, because I probably am, but I think that the significance of him going on the pup list means he can come back after week 6, whereas if he were on IR, it would be week 12, I want to say.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I don't know if those numbers are exactly right off the top of my head, but yeah, I that would make sense. I do think there is, he probably could come back a little quicker from PUP, but I mean, is that even realistic where he, you know, I mean, I know we've seen some pretty amazing recoveries from ACL and Hunter Henry's happened, I think, literally in the very first day of their training camp or mini camp or whatever, you know, whatever it was. So in terms of like a timeline, he's got, you know, the longest, or however you want to look at it, you know, he would come back the earliest, but I think this is still super, super optimistic. I mean, even if the Chargers, you know, the team that's got the worst luck I've ever seen over this last decade or so, you know, even if they make a playoff run or, you know, or contenders late in the season or whatever the case may be, even bringing Henry back for that is, I mean, that's still, you're still talking about a long shot. So it's still super interesting that they're doing it this way, but I mean, this seems sort of, you know, a real hope and a prayer kind of thing. So I think that's more meaningful than anything, but at the end of the day, I still don't think it really means a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, do you think it's going to be Mike Williams is going to see the lion's share of red zone targets here?
I guess if you like Mike Williams, that could be a way that they go. I don't know. I'm not too fond of him either. Keenan Allen's been the guy that I've been taking up in a lot of drafts. So, him, Melvin Gordon, those are pretty much the guys that you want. I don't know. Maybe Mike Williams is sort of a de facto kind of a tight end ish guy, just in terms of red zone and stuff. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, if a guy's only a quote unquote red zone weapon, that's usually a knock, meaning they can't do much else. So, it still doesn't really do anything for me overall. Even not being a Mike Williams guy, I don't know how you guys feel about him. But maybe there's a little bit of glimmer for him. I mean, at least he looks healthy and whatnot, which was definitely not the case at all last year. So could mean anything. I like Tyrell Williams quite a bit. So I think hopefully that's the way that the Chargers go in terms of a secondary option in for the wide receivers and tight ends would be Tyrell would be the way I'd want to do it. But I'm not the coach, so I don't get to make those decisions. But Gates, Williams, yeah, those are guys that I'm not too Mike Williams, anyways, not guys I'm super interested in.
I was pretty comfortable getting Mike Williams earlier in the offseason when his ADP was way down in the double-digit rounds. Like, you could get him almost at the end of some best ball drafts. But just as the offseason has gone on, he's become a lot more expensive, and Tyrell Williams is still kind of hanging around. So kind of shifted, who I was going after based on their cost only. It's really hard to predict who they're going to want to lean on more. I like Tyrell Williams too, but he kind of didn't get the same targets last year. We saw almost all of that was because Allen was healthy, but it's just, I was hoping for a little bit more from him last year. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping they lean on Melvin Gordon a little bit more in the receiving game. Last year he had 76 targets through the fantasy season. He caught about 52 of those. He's a very, very viable receiving option on that on the Chargers. Realistically, if you want to just go by raw target share, he kind of comes in as a wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, in addition to being the running back 1. The guy sees a ton of opportunity. He's kind of maligned as a guy who can barely run between the tackles or, just an inefficient runner. But I think that we should just put all that to a side and really just be focused solely on his raw opportunity and his raw usage in the receiving game, which really makes him a very, very attractive end of the round 1 selection, really. It would not shock me if he puts together a top 3 running back season, and if you really want a hot take, if provided he stays healthy, maybe even finish as the RB1. What do you guys think on that one?
Yeah, that's a hot take. RB1 for Gordon. But yeah, I do like your line of thinking there. And yeah, I mean, it pretty much just, pretty much ties a bow on what the situation is with the Chargers. It's Keenan Allen. It's Melvin Gordon. There's not really a ton left for other guys. So, even if Gates was, not 38 and hadn't spent the whole offseason, at home or whatever he's doing, there's not much room for other guys to get much here. So yeah, like Gordon, there's been plenty of knocks on him, as a rookie, not scoring touchdowns and is, the yards per carry, all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't really matter because we're not getting fantasy points based on yards per carry. It's just the total amount of yards, the total amount of touchdowns, those are the things that really matter. So, you can kind of throw all that to the side. It's a guy that they do like and want to throw to a lot. There's Eckler in the mix, Johnson in the mix as well, sort of more ancillary guys, but you know, if Gordon is going to lose anything, it would be receptions, I guess, to those guys. But, you know, he's still a guy that I've been plenty comfortable with. You know, you mentioned late first round. That's certainly no problem at all if he's there to scoop up Melvin Gordon. But, yeah, just ultimately, I just don't think there's really, you know, there's not really enough oxygen left after Keenan Allen and Melvin Gordon suck up all theirs. It's just, there's just not much for Gates and some of these other guys.
Carson Wentz is not being cleared for contact, and Ian Rappaport reports that Nick Foles will be the week one starter for the Philadelphia Eagles. Eric, the Eagles are hurting as the season kicks off. Not only are they still waiting on Wentz, Alshon Jeffrey is set to miss the first 2 weeks of the season. How do you think this offense will look until Wentz returns?
Well, when Wentz returns, then, yeah, I mean, I've seen some stuff that, you know, even week two could be in question. If you, Dr. David Chow does some excellent articles on sports injuries for the San Diego Tribune. So if you're not familiar with him, I definitely would correct that. He's written up some great stuff. And he said pretty much all along this whole offseason, and the reason why I don't have Wentz anywhere is he said it is just, it's not going to happen that Wentz is going to be, you know, close to 100% for week one. It's just not something that's going to be in the cards. Wentz, now, it wasn't just an ACL, but he damaged four ligaments in his knee. So that is super, super significant. Probably a guy who's going to be in a knee brace for the rest of his career. So even when he is healthy, I don't know if we're going to see that same guy, a man on fire, you know, for last year, for much of last year until he got hurt. So, yeah, Wentz is not a guy that I've been picking up at all this offseason. So this doesn't really affect me one way or the other. Alshon Jeffrey's also a guy I was not very keen on either. Nelson Aguilar has been a guy, however, Aguilar has been a guy that I've been scooping up in a lot of places. So how does all this affect the Eagles? I think Aguilar is a big winner here for the first couple weeks without Jeffrey. Obviously, though, you would prefer to see Wentz than Foles, who it seems like the after the Super Bowl, the carriage has turned into a pumpkin very, very quickly for him. He's a pretty bad. So Aguilar is still, you know, still a value if you've got a draft or two left to go right before the season. I think he's such a great value. I'm willing to pull the trigger on him. I'm not really an early tight end guy, so you know, I haven't been going that route for Eagle players. So yeah, Aguilar is the guy that pretty much had a circle around this offseason and would continue to do so if I had another draft or two left. So yeah, hopefully Wentz is back by week two. Although the article I read from the Dr. Chow there, he was even a little bit pessimistic about week two. So maybe the best thing for the Eagles is just to wait till Jeffrey and Wentz are both fully back, and then you've got you know, everybody's you know, ready to go, and the battleship is fully operational. So see what happens. But yeah, for me, it's been Aguilar and continues to be.
Yeah, Hassan mentioned off air, even with Foles expected to be the starter, the Eagles are still favored against the Falcons by 2.5 points. So, I mean, it appears that, you know, Vegas doesn't think, you know, Wentz or Foles matters that much for how this offense functions. I mean, the Falcons were one of the best teams last year, too. Do you think we should expect less, you know, firepower from this offense while Foles is the quarterback, or are you not that worried?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to in terms of the passing game. Yeah, I mean, Ajayi, you know, we talked about him being a potential workhorse and, you know, candidate to, you know, to really see a huge increase in carries. That would make a lot of sense. You know, they still have, by pretty much anything you read, the best offensive line in football. So that's a huge positive. The defense, you know, still going to be a good unit. So, you know, they can certainly get by and win some games. Maybe that's what Vegas is, you know, banking on as well. So some of this Wentz pessimism, though, in terms of not playing week one is a little bit new, I think, just within the last, you know, just today, rather, as we're recording. So I don't know if the Lions have necessarily had time to adjust yet to that. So that'll be definitely something you want to keep an eye on here in the next coming days. So, yeah, I think it's probably good news for Ajayi, seeing, you know, getting him ready for just a lot of carries early on and just kind of weather the storm a little bit. So I guess you could throw Ajayi in there as a beneficiary. In terms of the receivers, though, like I said, Aguilar is the way to go there. So, yeah, I mean, Jeffrey, there was so much optimism despite, you know, shoulder surgery. That's a lot harder to say than it sounds. But, you know, I don't know. That's just shoulders. That's a tough one, even for receivers. So I was a little leery there, and a lot of his value is all kind of touchdown-based anyway. So there's been a lot of issues I've had with Jeffrey and his price. So I've shied away for those reasons. So, yeah, I think if you picked up Ajayi, especially earlier on where he was even more of a value, I think you got to feel pretty good about that. He's certainly going to be the guy that I think they're going to be leaning on quite a bit.
What are your thoughts on Mike Wallace, though?
Not really. I mean, best ball league, you know, I mean, that's, I guess, kind of the stock answer. You know, he makes a lot of sense in best ball leagues where, you know, you could, catch a bomb here and there, but not really. We talked about vertical field stretcher guys. I think he's got a lot of tactical value for those purposes. It makes sense from a real life football standpoint to add. I think he's still a decent guy, still a decent player, even a little bit more of an advanced age. So I think for X's and O's, I think it made a lot of sense to bring in Mike Wallace, but for fantasy, I just, I can't see ever, banking on him. Especially if this time period where Jeffrey is out, we're going to, we won't have Wentz. If that's happening, then, I think the easier completions to Aguilar is going to, and running the ball a lot with Ajayi is probably going to be the prescription for Foles. That window where Jeffrey is out, if there's no Wentz in that, to kind of fill that vacuum, I don't think Mike Wallace is really going to make too much of an impact until we get Wentz back, in which case we're probably going to have Jeffrey back, and then the whole thing just kind of falls apart. So I think there's a lot of strings connected here. But early on, I think it's Ajayi, I think it's Aguilar, and that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this edition of the Fantasy Football Report. Special thanks to our guest, Eric McClung. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at Eric McClung. Please remember to rate and review the RotoViz radio channel on iTunes and subscribe to our Patreon. For Hassan Rahim, I'm Blair Andrews. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Report. Please rate and review the RotoViz radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at @RotovizRadio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Hey sports fans, football season's here and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. MyBookie is the industry-leading sports betting website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all your favorite sporting events. You can take a side, the total, or even fantasy points props. MyBookie lets you bet online and win big. Did the game already kick off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie has in-game live betting on every major league and event. Even esports. There's no better time to join MyBookie than today. Go to MyBookie to open an account and start winning. Use promo code CHAMPION when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus up to $1,000 on your first deposit. Bet today. Visit MyBookie's website or call 844-866-2387. That's 844-866-2387. Check them out today and use promo code CHAMPION for a 100% bonus. Terms and conditions apply. For entertainment purposes only. Void where prohibited. Hey, sports fans. Football season's here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. MyBookie is the industry-leading sports betting website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all your favorite sporting events. You can take a side, the total, or even fantasy points props. MyBookie lets you bet online and win big. Did the game already kick off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie has in-game live betting on every major league and event. even esports. There's no better time to join MyBookie than today. Go to MyBookie to open an account and start winning. Use promo code CHAMPION when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus up to $1,000 on your first deposit. Bet today. Visit MyBookie's website or call 844-866-2387. That's 844-866-2387. Check them out today and use promo code CHAMPION for a 100% bonus. Terms and conditions apply. For entertainment purposes only. Void where prohibited.
They call you the Grill Master. You've seared the thickest porterhouse in the butcher shop. And as you lift that first forkful to your mouth, you savor the moment. To get amazing offers during the Mercedes-Benz summer event, like the 2019 C-Class sedan and GLC SUV, the perfect recipes of driving performance. Plus, you can enjoy 6 months of Sirius XM All Access included. The Mercedes-Benz summer event, now serving limited time offers on a select lineup of vehicles. Offers end September 3rd. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. They call you the Grill Master. You've seared the thickest porterhouse in the butcher shop. And as you lift that first forkful to your mouth, you savor the moment. To get amazing offers during the Mercedes-Benz summer event, like the 2019 C-Class sedan and GLC SUV, the perfect recipes of driving performance. Plus, you can enjoy 6 months of Sirius XM All Access included. The Mercedes-Benz summer event, now serving limited time offers on a select lineup of vehicles. Offers end September 3rd. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure four-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each four-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour four-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.